This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. When the Panama Papers were released in 2016, the investigative report led to protesting in countries throughout the world and the resignation of two world leaders.
The piece exposed more than 200,000 offshore entities and revealed the wealthy and powerful people behind those shell corporations. More than 370 journalists around the globe worked for a year to uncover the information from the leak.
Marina Walker Guevara is the deputy director of the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, and she managed the investigation. She sat down with Joy Powers recently to talk about her work and why this particular investigation was so important.
The Panama Papers is the largest leak of financial information, I should say, of secret financial information ever obtained by journalists. It's 11.5 million records of secretive offshore structures belonging to thousands of people around the world, including prime ministers and presidents and senators and all kinds of people of public interest. And the reason why it's so important is because the offshore world is built on secrecy. Basically, when you are in the real world where we all live, you have to put, let's say, your house, your car is in your name, right? If you own it, you really own it and you put it in your name and it's in a public record. But when you play in the offshore world, in tax havens, and sometimes those tax havens are also inside our own countries, when you play in these tax havens, you don't have to put your name on anything. So basically you can have millions of dollars, yachts and jets and bank accounts in the name of somebody else. It's called nominee directors. It's people you basically rent. They rent their name so you don't have to put your name on your money. And that way we create like a parallel economy that basically underpins the real economy. And that's where the big deals and the big transactions and where a lot of criminality is going through these days.
Now, you've been involved with a lot of this kind of work, this investigative work on, leaked data kind of information, data-driven journalism. How did this compare to some of the previous things you've worked on?
It was a huge challenge, but we're so glad that it happened because of the secrecy of the offshore system. Basically, the only way to look behind those structures is through a leak of information. We needed, the world needed the Panama Papers to happen in order to realize really how damaging these structures are and how much criminality is involved. And as prosecutors would tell you and as journalists who have investigated this kind of crimes before, it's virtually impossible to get the information any other way. So the Panama Papers really, it showed us, I think, and it's a really important message, and especially for bad guys, that in the digital age, secrecy is really an illusion. And that information is going to continue becoming more and more available, hopefully to investigative journalists who would, looked at it through the public interest lens and really dig out the stories of public interest inside those leaks, and then go to the public record and see what information is there about those crimes. Because there's always a conversation, I say, between what is in a leak and what is in the public record.
Now, digging into it is something that I'm sure it might have been actual digging. It seems like it would be millions of, documents to go through. You were managing this team. What did that process look like, going through all of these documents?
Well, we were lucky that we were working with a lot of really great technicians and developers and people who are not journalists and who really know what they are doing when it comes to big data. And basically to, being able to digest all this messy leak, because it doesn't come all organized and ready for journalists to take notes. We had audio files, we had formats that don't exist anymore and like huge databases, and all of that had to put like inside like these machines, processed, cleaned, and then put on a platform for journalists all over the world to access it, because our model, the ICIJ model, is that we work with local journalists in more than 80 countries, and we expect them to be able to access this information from their computers. So it was a huge technological effort, also taking into account security questions. We were putting this information on the internet, of course, in a secure manner. But you can imagine that each one of those 300 plus journalists that took part in this investigation could have been a weak link and could have compromised the whole investigation. So that's why it took a year. And we really took our time. We said, this needs to be done well, because it's the first time anybody's attempting to work on this global scale. And if we fail, then it's really bad news, not only for the world, but it's also really bad news for journalism. We're not going to be trusted again by whistleblowers. Instead, they're going to go to NGOs, or they're going to go to governments.
There were, as you mentioned, a lot of people who were caught up in this leak of information. Were you surprised by some of the people who were involved with these organizations?
I wasn't surprised so much about the billionaires or the celebrities. Like, we know they like to hide their money, and we know they don't like sometimes to pay a lot of taxes. But I was surprised about the sheer amount of politicians in this leak. And maybe I shouldn't be. Maybe it's a little bit naive on my part. But really, like, prime ministers and presidents and people, you know, Supreme Court justices, people that we have entrusted with so much in our communities, to allow themselves to, you know, swim in these muddy waters of the offshore system. And sometimes not for a lot of money, which was also kind of, like, interesting. It was, you know, sometimes for small amounts, just for the pure secrecy, or, you know, because they wanted to conceal or they were concerned about their public images. So that was one of our biggest surprises, an enormous amount. So more than 140 prominent politicians, including 12 world leaders. And, of course, two of those prime ministers already resigned. The prime minister of Iceland as soon as the investigation broke, and then most recently the prime minister of Pakistan.
And you're a native of Argentina. How did you feel when you found President Mauricio Macri? He was wrapped in it.
Yeah, that was very interesting. And it also shows a little bit of, like, the challenges of our methodology. We didn't find Macri until December of 2015. And that was about 2 months after he was elected president. But we had been working before, so it's so interesting. He was a businessman before, so in that respect, it's not that surprising. What it is surprising is the way that the president handled the aftermath of the Panama Papers, and that's true for most of those prominent world leaders. They were in denial. They weren't forthcoming about, even though we had so much information and we made it available to them and we went ahead of time, they really didn't handle the explanation. They didn't feel like citizens deserve that information, I guess, and that resulted in a lot of embarrassment for those world leaders, because people actually this time made a click, and they cared. They went out on the public squares in Argentina, in Malta, in London, in Iceland, and they demanded response. They realized that those citizens realized, perhaps for the first time, that they were victims of these crimes.
The Panama Papers had a huge impact around the world. What did the impact look like here in the United States?
Well, here in the United States, it was a little bit tricky because we didn't have the big public figure, the big politician this time. And there were a lot of conspiracy theories about that, like, are you hiding the politicians? And no, we weren't hiding anybody. They weren't just there. There were a lot of very rich people, and the New York Times and McClatchy and other partners did great stories about them. And then right after the Panama Papers, there were some initiatives and push to try to make it less easy for people to create shell companies in the U.S. Unfortunately, the U.S. has pockets of tax havens. We know of Delaware, Wyoming, Nevada. Those are places where you can go and, you know, basically it takes you 10 minutes to create a company. You can put it in anybody's name. You don't have to give much information about yourself or the source of your money. So the Panama Papers sparked at least a debate and a conversation and some attempts to clamp on that kind of structures. And the last thing I would say is President Obama, who hasn't done a lot or didn't do a lot during his term to stop tax havens or secrecy here in the U.S., but he did say something very interesting after Panama Papers. He said the biggest problem with these revelations is that most of these structures are legal. And that is the big issue that we as a society have allowed ourselves to allow these legal structures or to have these laws that protect a small group of powerful people as they go about this secret business.
Well, that might get to this kind of final question, but what do you hope is the lasting legacy of the Panama Papers? And what do you hope to see moving forward with this kind of data-driven journalism?
As a journalist, my biggest hope is that in the future we see more and more global collaborations, that we realize that the biggest stories of our time that we think are national aren't, and that the best way to tell those stories, to tackle those stories, is in a cross-border way and is through sharing our collaboration. We hope that the Panama Papers changed investigative journalism for the better, and that we are better prepared, journalists, we're better prepared to tackle the many leaks and other stories that we need to do in the future, both technologically and from a team point of view, that we trust others in other countries and that we can really create global impact through sharing and collaboration.
All right. Well, Marina, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you so much.
Marina Walker Guevara is the deputy director of the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, and she managed the Panama Papers investigation. She was in Milwaukee to give the Burleigh Media Ethics Lecture at Marquette University, and she spoke with Joy Powers.